Welcome to Take Your Health Back Now, how to live healthy in our increasingly unhealthy world, with your hosts, Kendra Duquette, Jenny Wise, and Dr. Drew Duquette.
All right, so today we are going to talk about beauty, really, a couple of little subtopics in there, aging and personal care products, but it's really kind of all related to beauty and society's idea of that and how that ties into your overall wellness and also your body burden. So today is the Take Your Health Back Now podcast for March 8th, if you're watching the replay, and we're just gonna jump in.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk about this because there's so much. I mean, there's always so much, like forever. There's been so much on quick fixes for beauty and anti-aging and that kind of thing. And people spend so much money and so much time on these products. And I just keep seeing more and more of them come out lately. So we just wanted to touch on them. And this can actually be a happy subject because usually we're talking about scary controversial stuff, getting banned off our
podcast,
that kind of thing. So this is a happier topic, but it's still the same, what we talk about all the time. You know, it still comes from the same place. So we just wanted to touch on the difference between biological aging and chronological aging, first of all. And then just really that, you know, beauty is an inside job. These potions and lotions and all these things that people spend so much money on, they're not going to fix the problem. You have to fix what's happening internally with your health to really, you know, radiate that beauty. And you really can age in reverse. You're always either aging in reverse or aging forwards. We're going to talk about that. And that has to do with biological versus chronological.
There's so many parallels. I know they're tied together, you know, with your foundational health, but there's so many parallels with the conventional medicine industry and the beauty and aging industry. Like they're both big money. They're both generally run by these huge corporations for profit.
A lot of times the same corporations.
Yes.
Too.
There's generally kind of a big society pressure just to follow the standards and not really question anything. You know, so there's a lot of parallels here if you're just looking at them separately. And then if you dig a little deeper, you find out they're really super interconnected in good and bad ways.
And they both, that was a good thing to bring up right off the bat, because they are both, remember, they only treat the symptoms.
Yes.
So when we're talking beauty or aging, the symptom is what you visually see or what you visually perceive of your body or yourself or your face. And they're giving you something to, it always reminds me of like spackle. when you have an old house with, you know, plaster walls and you have cracks in the walls and you put spackle on and then let it dry and then you sand it off and then you can paint. And so it gives the illusion
that that crack is still there. It's just covered up.
That's kind of what it is. And what's causing the crack. So if you think about, okay, I'm just full of analogies today. I've got a whole book right here. I'm like, are you going to get this? But in my mind, I'm like, yes. But, you know, okay. So if you've ever lived in an old house, if you have cracks in the wall or you always look for cracks in the ceiling, or it doesn't even have to be old house. I don't know why I said that, but
It could be any house.
It could be any house. But you know, if the foundation, you never want to buy a house that there's a problem with the foundation,
right?
Because that is a huge problem, but you can always tell by cracks in the walls, cracks in the ceilings. And putting that spackle on those cracks and smoothing it over and then painting it so it looks pretty is not going to help that foundation. And that's exactly what it is with anything that you notice going on with yourself. Or people just thinking that as they get older, these are normal symptoms for them to feel. If you're using these marketed products, And, you know, there's so many right now. There's, like I said, potions. I mean, that's a huge one. But also there's pharmaceutical products and people exercise like crazy. There's like so many.
And injections and surgeries. Surgery. All these new non-invasive, I don't even know what you call them, but like processes, I guess. Because it's like the CoolSculpt and the, you know, all these things that are supposed to be less invasive, but it's still pretty unhealthy for you.
and unsustainable. So it's kind of like what we've been talking about in other podcasts with other things. You know, if you have these, or you're getting these facials, or you're getting these microabrasions, or I don't even know what they do anymore because I never that, but like when it was telling, they're not sustainable. You have to keep doing that constantly, or even people that get fillers or face, I don't even know if they do facelifts anymore. Maybe it's more like fillers and things. Or we were talking about Botox in the last one. You know, all these things. It just keeps you on this wheel that you have to stay on, spending tons of money. Keep doing it so that your face or whatever it is keeps looking good. And then there's the image, like you mentioned, where we see these. Like, I don't remember this 20 years ago as much, but, you know, we see these celebrities, we see these pictures on magazines, and, you know, there's so much with video now and social media and everything. Yeah. Everybody looks so perfect. And then it makes you feel like, wait, am I supposed to look like that? You know, okay, so I turned 55 this year. So I see celebrities that I know that are my age, and I'm like, is that normal?
Right. And with the younger generation, with all these social media filters, it's really causing a disconnect between how everyone looks with these filters and then how people look in real life. And you're constantly like looking at yourself on a screen. So it really can have issues with body image. Like, and then they feel like they have to go out, and then people are getting like, you know, TikTok facials, like they want to look like that weird filter because that's how everybody looks.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So yeah, it's making people look distorted. Like a lot of times you can see people walking around that you know have had work done or something just because they don't look natural. I mean, you know, you can kind of tell. And there's even things, you know, there are lots of people that get breast augmentation. That's been going on for a long time. But now we're finding that that actually causes a lot of health issues. So people are getting explants, but, you know, butt implants.
Yeah, the Brazilian butt lift is so popular.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy things. But these are not contributing to health at all. No. And it's your health or lack thereof that is actually causing these issues. So let's talk about chronological versus biological. So chronological aging means time. So chronological aging would be you're born and every year you have a birthday, right?
Yes.
That is chronological aging. I am, Kendra, going to be 55 years old this year. That's my chronological age.
Right.
Biological age means how you are aging. So you can either be far ahead. So I could be like, my biological age could be 75 this year, or it could be 35 this year. It depends on how the state of health in your body.
Right.
Makes sense. So people get caught up on that chronological aging and, you know, how old I am and, oh, it's just my age, you know, getting knee replacements at this age is normal. Because I'm getting old. No, that's not the case.
I just have to go get fillers because that's the age I am. This is what you start doing when you turn whatever age.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw, maybe I mentioned this before, but there was a salon, or I don't know what they're called. Maybe hair is salon, maybe skin is something else. But on their, you know, like Q&A kind of thing. First of all, they said they were organic and all natural, you know, it made it sound really lovely. Then you look at their Q&A and they gave you like ages. So 25 to 35, this is what you should be doing. And already they were putting in fillers and things like that. And then 35 to 45, now you should start with Botox and you need to be keeping up with that every month. And this, you know, it's just, but I guess my point is that there are so many people that buy into that and are doing that. Then there's also a societal pressure from other people to then do it because everyone else is doing it. So then people like that, then.
Yeah. That made me remember like just this random memory. Like, I think it was when I turned 30 and I got, you know, like a, fancy hair place and spa, you know, cause then they do the facials and stuff. And then the lady was, I think she was maybe a couple years younger than me. And she was looking at my face to decide what kind of, you know, whatever. And she's like, what kind of eye cream do you use? I see you're 30. And I was like, eye cream? And she was like, like so shocked that it made me feel for like a minute, like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong?
I need eye cream.
Right. And that's, you know, it's just one of those things that people, I mean, I think being in that industry and that's her job and she's also selling things, but there are just things that people just take from growing up and the people around them and standards and examples, and they just start doing things or they just assume that this will happen at this age and no one stops to kind of question it or think about it or be like, why?
Right. They think it's a natural part of aging, but remember that aging that we're all accustomed to thinking about is the chronological aging. Right. And that's definitely not how it needs to be. So if you think about, okay, so we'll just go with my story because my personal story is always my best testimonial. You know, we've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people and helped them and have testimonials, but my testimonial for me is always my number one because I lived it and I felt it and I, you know, I wish I could express in words how I felt, but I was going to say, you know, when I was a child, I was, you know, I had symptoms, whatever, but I think I probably felt fine. And then I had the snowmobile accident when I was 15. And right after that, like everything went south for me really fast. And then, so, you know, if you think about those last couple of years in high school, I couldn't remember anything. You talk about brain fog. I couldn't process things. I couldn't remember anything. I didn't feel good. I had low energy. And this is like probably between 16 and 18. So right. I would say that my biological age right now at 54 is much younger than when I was 16 to 18. And then I remember when I was like 21, 22, we had a treadmill. I could ride that thing for maybe 45 seconds. I'm not kidding. Or not a treadmill, like an incumbent bike or whatever they're called. I could, because my cellular energy was like zero to none almost, and I would be exhausted. Or if I walked up the stairs, I would, it would cause me to breathe heavier. I mean, that's 21, 22. So again, my biological age at that point in my life was much, much older than I am now. And when I was 30, you know, if you've ever heard my story, that's when I always say I got my worst. But that's really when I just kind of woke up and took control of myself. But again,
and you had a lot of other responsibilities, so you could tell. Yeah.
Right. Because I had kids, but I couldn't even make the bed. I think of that every time I make the bed, because now I'm like, and then it was such a chore. Like it exhausted me to put the fitted sheet on the mattress. I'm not kidding. And so, you know, you have to think in terms of biological aging, and that is what shows you that you can age in reverse. So we're not talking about, well, now Kendra looks so beautiful, by the way, my hair is weird. But
And you have, I mean, you have to separate that too. You have to separate beauty standards from age and from health and overall feelings of wellness, because in our society, they don't always line up correctly.
Kind of like
you have to separate those.
Effect. Yeah. But, you know, it is, if you look at somebody that is biologically or chronologically aging, aging quicker, as opposed to somebody else that's kind of going the other way. Yeah. They do. I mean, you can tell a difference, right. But it's not even just a difference in their visual appearance. It's a difference in their energy,
yes.
Or, you know, the way they sit, their posture, their, I mean, just about anything that they do, you can tell a difference. So anyway, we wanted to say, oh, so we clearly wanted to talk about that. But when you're talking about biological aging, you know, getting younger, or biological aging, getting older, it's exactly the same as what we talk about in other podcasts. And, you know, if you work with us, whether you're heading on that road to disease or that road to health. So if you're heading on the road to health, you're also biologically aging in reverse. Does that make sense? Or if you're heading to disease, so that means if you have symptoms of any kind, you're heading down that disease route and you're biologically aging quicker than you are chronologically aging.
Yeah.
Hopefully this makes sense. But
it's a little tricky because we're saying chronological aging is separate from biological aging. And then we're saying, but biologically I'm 35, but that's a chronological ideal. So it does get kind of mixed up, but essentially, you know, you're not going to take a test and be like, oh, I'm 38 and a half. You know, it's just, you know, are you much more aged in all those categories than you should be based on everyone else? Are you much less? And, you know, how are you feeling energetically? And then you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so you could interject beauty,
yeah,
and aging, anti-aging, with health, either way, but since we're talking about beauty. But, and just remember that all of, and maybe I already said that, but all of those things that we were talking about in the beginning, those quick fixes that are very expensive, do not work, because beauty is an inside job. You have to fix your internal metabolic environment in order for it to come out in your exterior environment, you know, your visual environment, and how you feel. So a big word, like, you know, we're always talking about, there, things get popular. And so these words are thrown around, or these terms are thrown around. So right now, one that I've seen a lot of lately is biohacking. So the real definition of biohacking is basically doing it yourself. Everything that you do with your environment, your diet, and your lifestyle, turning your health around, and then aging in reverse. That's right. Truly what biohacking is. I mean, if you look it up, that is actually the definition. But there's so many products and services and people selling stuff that they're talking about biohacking, but it comes down to like testing. So you hear a lot of people talking about testing your telomeres. You can test the age of your telomeres.
Right.
You can, but again, as with all testing, how does that help you? So right. That tells you that, okay, Kendra is 51 in telomere life or 72 in telomere life. So it gives you a number, but doesn't really help you in any way. And it's true, your telomeres are always getting shorter as you're constantly doing things that are adding to disease, or you can regenerate them. That's true, but you don't need that test. That's my point.
No, although I always see that in relation to two things. Either someone is like bragging,
right,
and they're like, I want to do this test and get these numbers because I'm, you know, mine are going to be great. And then they show everyone, and these do kind of go together, or they're selling something. So they want to show you how bad you are, so you will buy into their product or plan. So it's not actually giving you a solution. Like we say, like with our program, we don't require testing. We don't even recommend it at the beginning because we know the lifestyle steps you need to take to turn around, you know, 95% of everything. So we don't need to tie you into that. But a lot of people, that's just the standard operating procedure. Get the test, see what's bad, then decide what I need to do to fix that one thing.
Right. And just people in general. I mean, that must be a human quality that we are driven and we like to see a number. We like to see a result. Right. I mean, even with, you know, we're talking about beauty or anti-aging, people like to see clearly a result. So feeling good may not be enough for somebody. They want to visually look, you know, people.
Well, yeah. Think about all of the procedures that people spend a ton of money doing that hurt, that are very invasive, and the pain they go through. So clearly it's not really about how they feel.
Right. It looks and data and all of that is really drives us. I don't know why, but it just must be, I don't know if it's a societal thing or just a human.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both, but you know, in our brain, if this is the majority and this is the good thing, then that's the safety. We need to be there because there's safety in being alike, that, you know, insulates you. So, and then there's also competitive, which I think is a little more societal. We're a pretty competitive society. Oh, I'm better. I'm prettier. I'm younger. I have more money. You know.
And that is another societal thing is just, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, anorexia was a big thing. You know, that's when that was a word that you heard about a lot. Well, because they wanted to be thin, and then they get so caught up with what they think is the right way to get thin. And then they, you know, they go down that whole rabbit hole or bulimia. You know, it's been about the look of beauty or perceived beauty for a long time.
Yeah.
It really is an internal issue. So we just wanted to make sure that we touched on the anti-aging products of any kind, including testing, are just a quick fix. It is a band-aid fix. It is a treatment. It didn't help any underlying issue.
No, and most often it actually has more negative side effects.
Right.
That are going to cause you health problems, and it's not going to, you know, it's going to make that underlying issue that you're trying to cover up even worse down the road.
Right. Because it adds to that threshold bucket or that body burn that we talk about all the time. And, you know, if it's a chemical fix, you know, of any kind, lotion, whatever, that adds to your body burden. I was going to say body burden boot camp. Program are your total body burden. But another thing, we were talking about this yesterday, is nanotechnology, which is in lots of lotions and pharmaceuticals, all kinds of things. But that those particles, those molecules are, they're not even molecules, they're particles that are so small that they can cross into the cells, they can cross into your blood-brain barrier, they can go anywhere in your body. And the reason that they look good in beauty products is because they're absorbed so quickly.
Right.
So whatever their purpose is, to plump up your skin or to make it look shinier, I don't know what, but just keep that in mind, that nanoparticles, because they can go anywhere in your body, cross any barrier, they're really detrimental to your health. Also, testing just doesn't help anything except for maybe your mindset. But then you have to do something about it, right?
Yes.
Pharmaceuticals, of course, we know, add to body burden. If you get any kind of procedure, anything that is foreign to the body, so if there's any kind of surgery or procedure, something, that can even cause, like if you were right here with your threshold bucket and now you're getting a procedure of some kind, even if it's supposed to be adding to beauty, it can just send you over the top and start symptoms coming out. So keep that in mind too. And we mentioned the implants of any kind, because they're naturally supposed to be in the body, and the product that they're made out of should not be in the body. It's a foreign device. And you know, your body is constantly on the lookout for anything that is foreign. Remember,
right? And it tries to get rid of anything that is, I mean, think about when you get a sliver, if it's stuck under there, your body works and works and works to try to get that out. So when you surgically implant something, even though you do eventually heal around it, and they might be, you know, like, well, everything in the implant is natural and saline and can be reabsorbed, that doesn't mean that your body's not having an immune response and is not fighting against it.
And that's a good point, because like a splinter, what happens? Say you get a splinter in your finger becomes inflamed, right? It'll get red. You might feel the blood pulsing. it hurts, that's inflammation. And inflammation, the whole point of inflammation is to help us. But when there's so much coming in, that's when you get inflammation in the body, and then inflammation goes systemic, and there's just, your whole body is inflamed. It's because your body is trying to fight off all these things, and it's a natural response, but it's fighting so much. And that's where that systemic inflammation comes in.
Right.
Again, that we're talking about health now, but if your health is declining at all, and again, if you have any symptoms at all, even if you feel like they're just kind of random symptoms at this point, you're not diagnosed with anything. Anything that is symptomatic means your body is breaking down. That is what it means. And if your body is breaking down on the inside, that also affects your outside. And right. That makes sense. So
And Brianne just said that everyone she's ever known that has gotten implants has since gotten them removed. And it's, you know, she says, shocker. Once they get them removed, all these random symptoms go away.
But here's another thing. Okay, you're going to go in and get an explant, but
also a major trauma.
Very invasive to the body.
Yeah.
And hurt on the body. And so you removed that because it, you know, they were leaking, or your body was always working to get rid of it, whatever. You've removed it, but you've also done a surgery, which can set back your health as right. well. But then you're right, because then after that all heals, and that may take a couple of months where your body finally, yes, they're gone and now you're healed up, you know, then it can start putting its energy to repairing other places. Right. So another thing just to remember is how you feel, because, you know, anyone that their body is breaking down, and maybe you feel like you're externally, you know, you're wanting to fix your wrinkles or whatever the beauty hack that you wanted to do. How do you feel? Like, is your energy low? You know, those are all things to look for as well. So people can't see that, but you can feel that.
Right. And remember that most of the things in our society that we're both women, and beauty is always pasted on women, so we're speaking more from a female perspective, but almost everything is the processes in your body that are not really required for life. So your skin, your hair, your nails, your, you know, overall muscle tone, your weight, those things are all really affected by your foundation of health. And things like your hair, your skin, and your nails, your body's not going to work on making that beautiful and luscious and glowing if it's not able to even keep foundational processes going internally. So think about, you know, once you're healed, those things do, you know, become much healthier, and they do visually look better to us, because your body has all that extra energy to then put it into making you attractive so that you can procreate.
And that's nature. Also a biological, you know, response that we're supposed to be doing. Things to look for visually as signs that your body is on the road to disease are things like puffy under your eyes, dark circles under your eyes. Your hair is lackluster, for a better term. You know, it's not shiny.
Or falling out.
Yeah, falling out. Eyebrows falling out. Eyelashes thinning. Those are a lot of people don't think about. Weight gain, inability to lose weight, skin issues, including wrinkles. Like wrinkles, deep ruts, the 11s people get right here, dry skin, acne, rosacea. I mean, there's so many different skin issues people are experiencing. Anything else I wrote down? Well, that's what I wrote down. But, those are all visual things that we start seeing as we age, that mm-hmm. then people assume, I'm getting older, so this is what's happening. So now I need the spackle fix, you know.
I mean, and really, it's just that your internal environment has been out of balance. And as you age, what your body can deal with is getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And now it's overflowing. So it's not necessarily a process of aging. It's a process of like accumulation that happens over time.
Yeah. So biological aging equals accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
What's the opposite of accumulation? What would be the opposite word?
Subtraction.
Emptyization.
Right. Yeah, we should have thought through this whole metaphor analogy before. Yeah.
It's just off the top of the head. But, yes. You know, things that you should notice. Okay, so say with wrinkles, because that's one of the biggest issues. So again, my own story. I, at 54, have less wrinkles now. I'm not even kidding you. And I just find that fascinating. That probably I did, for sure, when I was 40. I don't know before that, but these deep ruts, I mean, I kind of still have them, but.
Yes. And I mean, I will back this statement up because you have always been like obsessed how many wrinkles you have. So it's something that you definitely, I don't feel like you were like overly wrinkly, but it is something that I've noticed too, because you're always pointing it out. But it is like, it seemed like, you know, like you were saying, like when we first met, forever long ago. But yeah, that it was more like, I don't know, I guess more wrinkles are, like you said, deeper, where your skin now just seems like more plump and filled and glowing.
Okay. Good way. So like, okay, so when we met, that was like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So maybe more crepey, fine lines, these deep ruts, you know, all these things, as opposed to now. Maybe more supple is the word.
That's a good word.
Yeah, more like there's more moisture underneath. I don't know. But these giant lines in my forehead, I mean, we're talking about me again. But again, it's because I know I am me, you know.
Right.
But gone. And I don't have any of these wrinkles right here. And these are almost gone. And I have normal. I am 54 years old. I'm going to have some wrinkles. That's normal.
Right.
But not. So this is probably normal. What I had before was not normal. It was because my body was breaking down. And your interstitial fluid in your body, so we always talk about body pH. If your interstitial fluid becomes acidic, so that's when your body pH is acidic, and mine clearly was. But what happens is it's almost like it, you know, it's dried out, like everything dries out and pulls.
Yeah.
And so your fascia, you know, your lymphatic system is sluggish, your fascia is tight. So you get these wrinkles.
Like, think of a rubber band that's been sitting in a drawer forever, and you pull it out. And then, you know, when you pull it, and it's kind of, it's gummy, but it's like cracked and dried and broken.
Right. Yeah. That's a good example. Whereas a regular rubber band is supple, it can pull and go back. So, you know, that's one thing that you'll notice as you are healing, your skin will get a lot better. And on top of that, on top of wrinkles, just things like rosacea will go away.
Yeah, that's funny. That's just what I was going to say, that one of the commenters said the rosacea used to be horrible before going through our program. And that's a really common one. And it's like rosacea is basically a symptom of everything. Like if you go to the doctor, you know, it could be lupus or fibromyalgia or just bad skin, or, you know, it's anything, but it gets tied back into that autoimmune.
Right. Exactly. And inflammation and all the things that cause all the things, you know, that type of thing. But yeah, rosacea will go away. You know, if you're prone to acne, rashes, dry skin, patchy dry skin, psoriasis, all these things will go away. But that's your interstitial fluid. It's your gut health. You know, they all tie together. And again, it's not just one thing. It's not one system. All the systems come into play. Everything coming into your environment comes into play. And then I would also, with as far as like, okay, so let's say dark circles. Dark circles are an autoimmune food allergy. So as you heal internally, those you'll notice will go away. So you don't have to put just concealer on. You know, people tend to always covering up. Or the puffiness under your eyes. That will go away. That's a lymphatic drainage issue, which again has to do with your interstitial fluid and all the things, all the systems. But that will go away. You'll notice. What else were we talking about that were, eyebrows and eyebrows and eyelashes right. will get thicker. Eyebrow outside of your eyebrows is usually Hashimoto's thyroid issue, but people just hair loss in general.
Right.
Saying that's just when your body is working overtime, basically, it will drop hair. And that's all hair. That's all hair all over your body.
Yeah. <You know? laughs>
And that's something else that I've noticed just on my own testimonial is over the years, when I was younger, I always so self-conscious of my eyelashes. We're so self-conscious of the weirdest things. But anyway,
especially when we're young.
Right. Yeah. As a teenager, I was always so embarrassed because my eyelashes were really thin and kind of short.
And your hair is so light anyway.
Right. Although my eyelashes were always dark, but I mean, I just felt like I had no eyelashes. And even if I put on mascara, they still looked stumpy and I could never figure out why. And now they're actually pretty long.
Yeah.
Thicker. It's crazy. So clearly you could see that that was a health issue, not me with embarrassingly short eyebrows, you know, because they've gotten much thicker now. Or people will have hair that's just dry and right. always look fuzzy on the ends and that kind of thing. And then as they get healthier, it becomes really thick and shiny.
Right. Or it just won't grow like past their chin, you know, just short. Right.
That's another yeah. one. So, either it won't grow or it just breaks off, constantly yeah. breaking off, and fingernails as well. But you can see that all of these, you know, you can look at yourself and then see that these issues are not going to be caught or solved with a product or right. whatever, but you really have to do the internal work to see these visual results. And then back to how you feel. And, you know, how you feel is a projection to other people, how you look. So if you think about, so if you, like, here's a good analogy. So my mom is 80 years old. She goes to exercise every day. I mean, she's out there doing her, you know, it's like jazzercise, but it's silver sneakers. She does all the things. She mows her yard. She has 3 sets of stairs in her house. I mean, she's always from the back. Like if you don't see her from the front, her figure, her way she walks, the way she holds right. herself, she looks much, much younger than she is. I mean, she's 80 right. years
and old. And especially her peers, like if you see her with right. other people.
Right. So that's what I was going to say. So then you have peers that are also 80 years old. You know, they're hunched over, they're moving slow.
Like shuffling.
Right. And so if you think about a person, I mean, even it doesn't matter what age they are, but a person that's, you know, their posture is good, they're moving quickly, they're, you know, doing all the things, they can, their muscles are supple. That's another thing, you know, right. they're able to do whatever they need to do. That gives you the appearance of being younger, whereas somebody the exact same age could be, you know, hunched over, shuffling, like Jenny said, you know, head down, moving slowly, you know, they sit down in their chair real slow.
It just looks like everything hurts.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that makes that person look so much older.
Right.
And, you know, you could have two people, like, let's say somebody that's 65, two people that are 65 that are both, were engineers their whole life, you know, had similar jobs, lived in the same town, you know, very similar lives, same age. One could be that person that's moving really slow with their aches and pains and low energy and kind of stooped over. And the other one could be like running around and, you know, sitting down real fast, jumping up real quick, high energy. The one will look so much older, even though they've had a similar life. And that one that looks so much older probably is somebody that didn't get a lot of movement in, maybe had a really stressful job, a stressful family, a bad outlook on life, because that can do it too. You know, eating the wrong foods, never getting outside, connecting with nature. The other person could be outside all the time, gardening, you know, has a community of friends and families, eating really well, getting movement in. So their lifestyles can really make a difference into how they are now perceived by the outside world as healthy or not healthy, right. Beauty or aging, aging in reverse, aging. The opposite. So hopefully that makes sense. But then, you know, after you do the inside work, so with all of our programs, with us, with our PHPs, we do the internal work and then address the outside factors that cause that metabolic dysfunction in the first place. And that's how symptoms go away, right? That turns your health around. But then you have to continue on that path, but you also have to really connect with yourself. And you have, you know, we've been talking about this a lot this week, that you have to be able to give yourself, and actually even to decide that you're going to go down that route to address the cause of your problems, you have to be able to give yourself permission. Yeah. And we talk about this a lot, but women especially don't give themselves permission. They always have these excuses. Well, I don't feel comfortable just spending the money on myself because, you know, my kids need all of this, or I don't have time because I've got to run around with my kids. I got to take care of my husband. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. But, and they tend to put themselves last, but right. You have to give yourself permission and you have to be able to connect with yourself. That's like one of the biggest pieces of maintaining health, I would say. And logically aging in reverse, because we're talking about aging, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be able to think about the difference. Again, it's that mirrored or side by side, you know, it's not selfish. Selfish is service to self. Selfish is actually all those potions and lotions and spending all that money on trying to look beautiful, you know, as a from the outside observer kind of thing. That to me is selfish. Service to others is putting yourself first so that you can be there for everybody else. You can be your very best version of yourself. So if you think about like my story when I was talking about when I was, say, 30 with my little kids and I could barely make the bed, no joke. I was putting myself last, clearly, because, and I couldn't be there for them. I really couldn't. I was a fraction of what I am now to my grandkids because of how I felt. So you have to be able to say, I'm doing this for myself. I'm, and then really focus on connecting with you, with yourself. That's a big piece of it. But here's the caveat. It's hard to connect with yourself or connect with nature or meditate or connect with source or, you know, whatever that is for you when you feel like shit. I mean, seriously.
Yes, it is hard.
It is really hard. You feel terrible. You feel like you look terrible. You don't have any energy. It is hard to then do that. So our recommendation is always give yourself permission, then work on all of that internal dysfunction. And if you work with a coach, you work with a system, all you have to do is do it. You know, you don't have to.
Right.
You just put it on their shoulders, put it on our shoulders, and you just do it. And then you get to the point where you feel better. And then you can really spend the time now really connecting with yourself, true self. And all of those steps just add to anti-aging in a true way, you know, where you don't need all these lotions and potions and things that are adding to all that disease in the first place.
Right. And when you feel better, you have a more positive outlook. So even the things like, you know, there's things about people that are not, you know, that are physical that aren't necessarily related to health. Like, oh, I have a large nose. That's not internal health. Right. But as you, like, as you heal and get healthier, you just feel good overall and you look healthy and energetic. And those things that maybe your mind was focusing on as bad and covered up and negative, and maybe you need to fix that, they're just like not as important and you tend to not focus on them. So it's like a huge mindset shift. When you feel better, you can like accept everything about yourself in a much more holistic and healthy way, where maybe those things you hated before are just now the, oh, well, not my favorite.
I hate everything. tend to not even notice anymore.
Right.
Not even accept. It's like, you know, whatever. You also change your perspective on you don't care anymore about what anyone else thinks. That's a big part of connecting with yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you don't feel good and you don't feel good about yourself, you don't feel good about how you look, you feel like you're aging, that type of thing, you tend to, maybe without even thinking, you tend to think about what other people think about you or perceive right. you to be. You know, and perception is always a reflection of what really you are thinking, you know, and you perceive, you reflect that on someone else and think about them perceiving you, if that makes sense. But yeah, you get to where you feel really good. You feel like you look better because you start to not even paying attention to it. And you really could give two shits. I'm sorry. I'm cussing.
Didn't know that beauty was going to make us sweary.
You feel better and you start swearing. No. But I mean, you really don't care anymore. Whereas you right. be embarrassed or think, oh, what is that? Or that guy's not looking at me or whatever. You don't care.
Right. Because before your focus was always on the bad, the illness. You didn't feel good. You didn't like the way you looked. So you were always thinking about that. And if you think you look awful, you're like, oh my gosh, everyone else must think I look terrible, you know? And you're thinking, oh, I can't accomplish this. I don't feel good. Why can't I make the bed like a superhero? You know, and then you assume that other people are thinking about those things because they're constantly on your mind. But once you get healthy and you change your lifestyle, so you have these great habits, your mind is focused on these good things. It's focused on how good you feel and the things you're doing positively. So then, you know, same thing. Your brain is thinking, well, everyone's positive and happy and thinks I'm great. You know,
from a perspective of people looking at you. Now that you feel that way and you don't have these perceptions that other people are viewing you with and right. you just feel good, you feel joyful, you have energy, you just feel, you know, you're like buzzy, feel so good. People see that.
Yeah.
And so that is a real perception that people will see. And that goes into people's perception of beauty, you mm-hmm. know. Aging, because they'll see you with all this energy and you radiate glow. I mean, but it's true. And then people are drawn to you. I mean, it just changes everything, but it's because you are now connected to yourself and internally you are healthy. And that comes through.
Right.
This was a really roundabout, but it's so true. If you really sit back and think about it. But giving yourself permission is a huge
yes. piece. Oh, we had a comment. Kate said, I love listening to you. I can always relate. And it makes me feel like I'm not the only one going through this. Love to hear the different perspectives. Yes. Like people get these things in their heads and we just don't talk about it. Like it's a society thing too, kind of like beauty. Like people don't want to talk about their flaws and their insecurities or their vulnerabilities because that's scary. Like you're in a negative place and then, you know, you're trying to protect yourself. So
always feel like you're the only one. I mean, that's anybody that's having these symptoms or chronic issues or, you know, whatever it is, you feel very alone in your situation. And maybe that's what you're talking about, but you do. And you feel like nobody else has this but you. And so then you don't talk about it. And oftentimes when we're talking to, you know, people that are first working with us, we always talk about this because you are not alone in your situation. Everybody, I promise you, if you look around at everyone in your social circle or, you know, people you come in contact with, go to the grocery store, look around. I'm not kidding. People are sick. I mean, people just are sick. People are sick. They don't feel good. There's so much going on in the world right now. People are kind of caught in that fear and there's just so much and people are caught up in that and they're all feeling that way. So, but it's true. It's like what Jenny just said, people tend, because you think it's just you, you don't talk about it. So then therefore nobody talks about it. So then everybody thinks everybody else is healthy, but except for you, you know, it's not true.
No.
And one other thing I wanted to say real quick about you know, we were talking, I don't know why I got on that topic of wrinkles, probably because I'm always fascinated that mine are going away, but weight loss is a big one. And yeah. Weight loss is a big one right now. You know, the last few podcasts we've touched on that because of all these weight loss drugs and all this stuff. And obesity is becoming an epidemic in our country. And really probably around the world, mostly here though. But I just wanted to mention that, okay, obesity clearly is caused by lifestyle, diet, and environment. But when you are getting healthy, and I know some of you, maybe they're watching this or will catch this later, can relate to, a lot of times when people are getting healthy, they are feeling better and better, looking better and better, clearly aging in reverse because you are looking and feeling so much better, but you're still hanging on to that weight. Yeah. Just remember that a big piece of weight loss is those toxins that your body holds on to. Remember that your body, its toxin is a poison. So your body holds on to these toxins. It puts it in your fat cells. It puts it in your organs. It stores it. It doesn't want to release them. So sometimes that weight loss can take a long time.
Right. And
the other thing to think about with that is, what was I going to say? I had a thought and then I was like, woo. As far as the weight loss and the toxins.
Oh, a lot of times it can be mindset too. So it's not all physical. Oh, yeah. It could be emotional trauma, stressors. Your body deals with those the same way as physical stress. So if you've had a lot of that in the past, you know, and you've gotten your lifestyle on point and you're still holding on to a lot of that, then, you know, that could be a big piece of that too. And that just takes time to release and let go. And then again, same thing, your body doesn't want to let go of everything all at once, trauma or toxins, because it could cause a terrible reaction. So sometimes that's slow going. So just, you know, keep up with it, stay on track. Don't, you know, be too harsh on yourself, but do look at what the, you know, roots might be and work on them.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Fine. That always helps. But I was going to say stress. Okay. So, you know, we always say our program works if you address everything. But one of the things that we talk about all the time is stress in your life. But that is not something we can help you with. That is something that you have to look at. You know, it's hard in your own life. Yes. Because if your body's holding on to weight, but you're doing everything else right, a lot of times, you know, take a step back and really look at your life, because it could be your job is super stressful. It could be just your schedule is super stressful. I know that kids' schedules now are insane through the roof. So if you have multiple kids, it's like even crazier. Or if you're a single parent, or you just hate your job, or, you know, there's so many outside stressors besides all the environmental toxins and stressors that we talk about all the time. But stress also adds to that aging, you know, of your body. So you have to be able to step back from stress, you know, as much as you can. And sometimes it's super hard, you know. Right.
Sometimes just thinking about making those choices seems stressful, you know, but you have to look at where you're headed. Like, what is the goal? So your job is super stressful and causing you major setbacks. It's going to be stressful, maybe more acute stressful for that short period of time if you quit and make big change and find something else, you know, and that might trickle down. It might mean that now you have to move because you can't afford the house you were in or housing. So you have to change that. You have to change your schedule and you have to, you know, there's a lot. But once that little acute blip goes away, you're in a much better situation. Then that stress is gone and, you know, you're working towards your goals. So you have to kind of let your brain think through that. Oh my God, I can't do that. You know, that's a natural reaction, but you have to kind of think through that, let that go, and then really nail down what are the benefits? How long is that going to be a major issue? If I stay in this job, it's going to be a major issue forever until I'm done with this job, you know?
And we saw that.
We have seen that.
But, you know, a really, really good example of this was at the beginning of the whole COVID pandemic that, you know, they locked us down, right? So many of our patients couldn't go to work and they like thrived.
Yes. People got healthy so much faster during the shutdown.
Right. They weren't at that job. They were at home. They were able to really focus on themselves. Yeah. You know, and so people were doing really well. Symptoms went away. And then when all of a sudden they could go back to work instantly. I mean, it was amazing how many almost instantaneous they went back to work. Symptoms came back. You know, migraines came back. The pain came back. Whatever they were experiencing was back. And it was because they were back in that stressful environment. Even if they thought they liked their job, maybe it still is a big stressor on us. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was a really good example. And I was going to say, again, on my own story, when, you know, we always talk about when I was in my 30s and I was able to regain my health, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, then.
Just that, blah, blah, blah.
Well, then in about 2020 or 2013, 14, symptoms started coming back really bad. And it was because I was in a bad marriage and it had gotten really bad. And everything came back full force and I had to step away. I'm not telling you to go and get divorced. I'm just giving my story, but I had to make a really, really, really hard choice to step away from that for myself, for my health, because I really thought I was going to die. And I didn't do that because my kids were still in high school, but I did. I stepped away from it and it was the hardest thing I really have ever done. So hard, but my health turned around so fast.
Yeah.
And on top of that, that's when all of a sudden I was like, what are they spraying in the sky? The first time I ever saw chemtrails. Once I stepped away from that and all of a sudden I wasn't on high alert and stressed all the time. And I just felt like I was much more spiritually connected and like all these things, but it was also the hardest thing I'd ever done. So I'm just reminding you that stress is that extra root that only you can deal with.
Right.
Think about and sometimes make hard decisions with that. So, and if you want to step away from your job that's causing you stress and become a PHP, of course, we always have our certification.
Yes. It is big choices. Yeah. We've gotten into like kind of maybe bigger topics than just beauty, but it ties to everything. It really does. Like, you know, you can think about it in the exact same way as you think about foundational health. The processes are the same. The conventional badness is the same, you know, and everything in your life and every choice you make really affects it.
One other quick note before we go is, for some reason, a lot of times people won't invest in their health, because again, they're not putting themselves first, but they will invest in anything to make them look better.
Yes.
From the outside. So if you are experiencing symptoms of any kind and you have to think about it just for a mindset perspective, you want to invest in this so that you look better.
Yeah.
Whatever angle you're coming from, do it for yourself, because overall it will, you know, give you longevity in your life and optimize your health and yes, make you look more beautiful and radiant.
Right. We definitely have programs that are a lot less money and a lot less painful than implants.
Anyway.
And that's normal. No one would question you if you went and got, you know, a lift or augmentation or an implant and you spent $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on it, people would be like, oh, well, okay.
Right. Which is crazy to me, but yes, but you can, the whole point of this is you can age in reverse. That's a real thing. And it's just how you feel, you know, that's what it all comes down to. So anyway, if you want to work with us, of course, reach out, share this with other people, because you, like we were just talking about, everybody's feeling the same way. So definitely share and, you know, if it resonates with people, then they'll understand. But that's a huge piece. Here's another thing. If you're, say, 54 years old like me, and people say, well, I'm just getting older. I'm getting old. You're not old. How old is the oldest person that's ever lived?
I think 120 is our limit as humans.
Yeah, that's what they say. So, okay, that's not even half. That technically should not even be half my lifespan.
Right.
That should be young. You know? And you should feel young. And you should feel young until you are that age. You know, so just keep that in mind too, because I don't think it's a disservice to anyone to feel.
Yeah, and really, feeling old and feeling young are just ways for our brain to categorize things. You should just feel good, healthy, energetic all the time. Whether you're young, whether you're old, that is how you should feel. You shouldn't feel old or when I felt young. You know, when you're healthy and young, you don't think like, I feel young. That's why they say, you know, youth is whatever. Being young is wasted on the youth, whatever the saying is. It's because you don't think about it because you just feel good. That's how you should feel for your whole life.
Yeah. Anyway, we could go on and on this topic.
Clearly.
We will end it today, but yes. That's it for today. So hopefully that resonated with you guys and that helped. And
yeah. Share, like, subscribe. You know, if you are in our Facebook and you were here live, thank you. If you are watching or listening to the replay, feel free to join that group so you can kind of get in on that. We appreciate you and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Take Your Health Back Now, featuring Kendra Duquette, Jenny Wise, and Dr. Drew Duquette.